For our scripture lesson this morning, I would ask you to turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Reading now God's Word. Psalm 88 is a psalm of the sons of Korah. To the chief musician sent to Mahalath Leonoth, a contemplation of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, dressed among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. Selah. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord. And in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone all over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend, you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. Thus far the reading of Holy Scripture. Let all God's people say, Amen. Midway on our life's journey, I found myself in dark woods, the right road lost. To tell about those woods is hard, so tangled and rough and savage that thinking of it now, I feel the old fear stirring. Death is hardly more bitter. Words from Dante's Inferno, and an apt description of life in a fallen world. Would it surprise you to know, brothers and sisters, that a life of happiness in this life on earth is never, ever guaranteed in the Scripture? A life of joy in Christ, yes. Happiness, no. Happiness is certainly not the only emotion that God's people experience in this life. As we look at the Psalms, we see that they're written by men of great faith. Yet Psalms run the emotional gamut. As a matter of fact, Psalm 88, the very last verse ends with the words, "Darkness is my closest friend." And we read in this psalm that this affliction had dogged the psalmist from his youth. All of his life. Was not the Lord Jesus Christ called a man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief throughout his entire life? Well, then the question comes, when you're depressed, how do you take the next step? Never mind an entire journey
of life. How can you make it even to the next hour? How can you add anything like hope to your day when you are discouraged and depressed? It's very common for even spiritually mature men and women who feel depressed to think that they're doing something wrong. You know, after all, the scripture is filled with joy. It's filled with happy hearts. You know, when they aren't feeling happy, they think automatically that they're missing something or that God is punishing them until they learn some hidden lesson. Isn't that what Job's friends would have led him to believe? When something bad is happening to you, there's a host of feelings that confront you. And there's a depressed person has a very specific but gradual pattern that takes place. First, the depressed person starts by saying, "Why is this happening to me?" And then he says, or she says, "Why love?" And then, "Why worship?" And then, "Why live?" And then, "Why bother?" You need to understand that very few people just wake up in the morning and automatically like that decide to change their theology. No, changes in a person's belief system are seldom that self-conscious and automatic. Many of you, I know, have had a painful experience in your life. And in ways that we often don't recognize, these experiences are hermeneutical. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, hermeneutics deals with interpretation. So when we have these experiences, these bad experiences, they can become a lens. Whether we know it or not, they can become a lens through which we interpret and view life. And sadly, we're seldom aware that that is happening. You know, the emotions we go through when we have to endure a very difficult experience are not static. They don't stand still. They are in motion inside of us, and they morph into subtle but extremely influential conclusions that we have about God, about ourselves, about others, and about life. And really, these major changes, the problem comes in is we haven't really given a well-thought-out analysis of our difficulties. You know, we haven't put ourselves in our experiences through a careful theological re-evaluation. No, rather our unresolved feelings that are going on warring inside of us become our interpretations of life. Emotions morph into conclusions, and we end up not believing the things that we say that we believe. Depressed people are often discouraged. They often feel alone. They wonder why this thing, this bad thing, has happened to them. They question where God was. They question why he would allow such devastation to occur. And at times, they question the value of their own faith. But yet, they're often unaware of the spiritual battle that's going on the inside. Well, have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt that no one understood what you were going through in your life? Have you ever hidden a struggle because you are afraid of what other people would think? Have you ever thought that a problem was too big to be solved? Has this ever led you to question whether God understood or whether God cared? You know, think about your own faith for a moment. Can you really honestly say that it has only been shaped by teaching and preaching and personal Bible study? Or is there a gap between what you profess to believe and what you actually believe when the rubber hits the road? Perhaps you're close to someone who is going through a hard time. And it's that person's finding it difficult to hold on to his or her faith. And if any of this sounds familiar to you, then this psalm, Psalm 88, is especially for you. You see, the Bible says that we're either living under the scorching heat of trouble or we're living under the cool rains of blessing. But in either case, we're always responding to what's going on around us. And the Bible doesn't offer a sanitized view of life, nor our reactions to it, does it? We have dark, shocking, painful stories that abound through the Holy Scripture. The Bible shows us people who think, plan, say things, decide, do these actions just like we do. But think of it. If the Bible left out stories of murder and rape and famine and war and adulteries and fear and depression and theft and corruption, if it left out those things, how likely would we be to believe that God's word could actually help us? It's incredibly encouraging to know that the Bible addresses this world as we know it. You know, God makes very clear that He understands the heat that we have to go through on a daily basis. He understands it. You know, indeed, Jesus Christ Himself, as I pointed out earlier today, literally experienced the pain of all these things in this psalm. But isn't it, it's never pleasant at first blush to read a psalm like this or a story that is difficult but honest, but it is comforting. You know why it's comforting? Because it tells us that we will never, ever, ever face a situation or an experience, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, that would be a shock to our God. Not one. The experience that we have, God offers His hope and His help to His children as we reflect in the psalm of His knowledge of the full range of human experience. God knows. He knows. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that's why some of the most comforting passages of Scripture, listen carefully, some of the most comforting passages of Scripture may not even have a word of comfort in them. You know, they might not be neatly tied together at the end with a nice little happy ending. They might not say something about God's promises or His love or His grace. Yet, they give us hope in their accurate depiction of the things that we face. Psalm 88 is one of those passages. How do you trust God in the darkness? There are two main things to take from this psalm, and we'll consider them today. First, you're to trust God in the darkness by putting yourself in the psalmist's shoes. By putting yourself in the psalmist's shoes. Now, perhaps you have experienced all these things that the psalmist has experienced, or some of these things, maybe even now. But even if you haven't necessarily experienced all of these things or some of these things, I would like you for a moment to imagine yourself and to place yourself in this psalmist's shoes as the one who was experiencing these things. And as we go along, I would like for you to ask yourself, you know, how do I feel when I hear the words of Psalm 88 read to me? I want you to hear these following verses again, and I want you to put yourself in the writer's place. In verses 3 through 5, you are in deep despair. The psalmist says, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am accounted with those who draw down into the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift from the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand." Well, in verses 6 through 7, you feel forsaken by God. The psalmist says, "You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your ways." In the first half of verse 8, you've lost all your friends. You have put away my acquaintances far from me, the psalmist says. You have made me an abomination to them. In the second half of verse 8, you feel trapped. You feel helpless. The psalmist says, I am shut up and I cannot get out. In verses 9 through 12, you feel as if you're dying. You're crying out for help, but none comes. My eye wastes away, the psalmist says, because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? In verses 13 through 14, you feel as though God has turned his back on you. The psalmist says, but to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? In verses 15 through 17, you feel like bad things always happen. Bad things always happen and nothing ever changes. The psalmist says, I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They come around me all day long like water. They engulf me altogether. And in verse 18, you feel like you wake up every morning to a very dark world. Loved one and friend, you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. Well, there you have it. We just read the entire psalm. Hopefully, if you have put yourself in the psalmist's shoes, you've gotten a feel for what he has gone through. Or perhaps it does reflect at least part of your experience today. But now let me ask you a very important question. I want to ask you a very important question, so please listen carefully. Did it bother you that this psalm did not end on a positive note? Did it unsettle you that this psalm is even in the Bible? Do you wonder what good you're to get from reading it? Well, you've placed yourself in the psalmist's shoes, but we need one more thing, a second thing here. For in order to trust God in the darkness, you must also adopt the psalmist's honesty. And how do you do this? Well, by learning what this psalm has to show you. And what does it have to show you? It shows you five things. First, the psalm shows you that God understands the full range of human experience, from supreme joy to supreme sorrow. God understands. Second, the psalm shows you that the promises of the Redeemer, the promises of the gospel, come to people who live in a world such as that. Third, the psalm shows you that God's honesty about these experiences is an invitation for you to be honest about the things that you face. There's no such thing as a biblical Christianity that is blind or stoic in its reaction to life. Fourth, this psalm shows you, and I hope you notice verse 1 here, Lord God of my salvation, this psalm shows you that going to God with your despair, with your doubt, with your fear, is an act of faith, is an act of faith. Psalm 88 reminds you to run to God in desperate situations, not away from God. Fifth, this psalm shows you that the Bible isn't simply an idyllic world full of noble people who always make the right choice. The Bible describes a world where people make wonderful choices and they make horrible choices, where very good things happen and where very horribly bad things happen, and everything in between. The Bible describes a world that sometimes makes us laugh and oftentimes makes us cry. Brothers and sisters, as you examine your lives today, are you like this psalmist? Are you like the psalmist of Psalm 88? Can you be honest with God? Can you be honest with God? Are you afraid of how you are responding to the heat of life? Do you wonder whether God really welcomes this kind of honesty that you see in Psalm 88? So that you hesitate to bring the cries of your heart to the Lord. Do you feel as though you have to put on a good front of unwavering faith before God and before others people? Does your faith genuinely impact your life? I remember a number of years ago, I was at another church, and I had an epiphany. One particular Wednesday evening, I was at a prayer meeting that was 1 hour long, and people were sharing prayer requests. But it was the same type of old grocery list of situational, self-protective prayer requests masquerading under the mask of openness and self-disclosure. I find myself thinking during this prayer meeting, why do we always feel the need to clean up our prayer requests before we give them out? Why is it that we're so skilled at editing ourselves out of our prayer requests? Why is it that we have no difficulty sharing our difficult circumstances, but we're afraid to be open about our struggles in the midst of our circumstances? You know, did we really care more about what people thought than we did about actually getting help? You know, this is just rolling through my head. Did we really think that our God in heaven would be repulsed by our sins and our weaknesses if we brought them to Him? Now, I wondered who we thought we were fooling. You know, it was as if we had all agreed upon an unspoken set of rules, a conspiracy of silence in our little prayer group. And I looked around the room. These were people I thought that I knew fairly well at the time. I didn't know what many of them were facing, yet I knew little of what was going on inside them. And I brought my thoughts back to the discussion that night. I was determined to break the silence. I didn't think that I was any better than the others. I knew that I had played a willing part in that conspiracy of silence, but I became convicted about it. So that night I prayed in that little group that God would break down the walls of fear that were preventing us from sharing our heart struggles with one another and bringing to God the things that were really going on in our lives. I asked God to give us the hope and the faith and the courage to put our struggles into words that would reach God's ears. Who is God? He is the ultimate source of wisdom and love and compassion, forgiveness, power. Well, to my surprise, others followed in that prayer meeting. Others followed, confessing their fears and their doubts and their struggles. And I notice a change A little change take place in that group that night. Well, brothers and sisters, Psalm 88 is an encouragement to that kind of honesty. It calls you to an open and authentic faith in the face of chronic sickness, the burden of wealth, the rejection of friends and trauma and abuse, the loss of a job, the temptations of success, a child's rebellion, the loss of a loved one, a church split, perverted justice, the cloud of depression, a host of other things that are a part of our lives. In Psalm 88, God is welcoming you to come out of the shadows, to come out of the darkness, to express your struggles honestly as this psalmist did. And you know something? When you do, you'll find that God already knows and that God already understands, because you have a sympathetic high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has lived this exact life in this psalm. He's now at the right hand of the Father. You want to know what's also encouraging about this psalm? Well, the title to this psalm says that it's a what? It's a song. Now, why would anyone ever want to sing such a discouraging dirge as this? What would be the point of putting "the darkness is my closest friend" to music? Is that a song you feel like singing all day? Well, prepare to be surprised, because this is where the psalm becomes most encouraging. Because, you know, Psalm 88 is a song of the sons of Korah. You know who the Korahites were? The Korahites were the doorkeepers of the tabernacle. The Korahites were those who led Israel in procession to the tent of worship and sacrifice and atonement. And this mournful song would be one of the songs that they would sing. Brothers and sisters, do you see what this means? It means that God intended for the darkest human laments to be brought together with the brightest of human hopes. It means that honest expressions of fear, of pain, of doubt were welcome in the place of worship, along with atonement and forgiveness. This whole mess of human misery was welcomed in the place of mysterious, glorious grace, as it is today, now, this morning. So if you're depressed, where do you start? Where do you start? You start at the easiest place for those who are in darkness. You start with your despair, the way the psalmist did. You despair of finding any answer in yourself. And you look for rescue in the only one who can help, the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, the God of our salvation, as verse 1 of this psalm proclaims. No psalm more powerfully communicates than this one. "Come to me," God says, "as you are, with all your doubt, with all your fear, with all your pain, with all your discouragement. Hold before me these shattered hopes that you have. Hold before me your broken dreams. And find redemption and rest when it seems that there's none to be found in the world." God says to you in this psalm, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate when your heart is weak and when your mind is confused. Don't hesitate, even though you've questioned my goodness and love. Don't hesitate. Come as you are, for the sacrifice of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is for you, God's people, just as you are. That kind of honesty before God is meant to be a part of our worship as a church. And what a helpful, what a hopeful invitation. It means that you don't have to put on a spiritual mask to approach your God in heaven. He knows. You can come as you are, for Christ's love is sturdy and His grace is sufficient. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we need to confess that we're but the children, Lord, and You are the Father. We're the learners and You're the teacher. We're sinful and fallible. You're holy and wise. Father, we pray that You would teach us to measure our thoughts and our experiences by Your word and not by our own unresolved feelings. We pray, Father, that You would humble us under Your mighty hand. Lord, we do pray that You would forbid that we get angry with You or criticize You or be disappointed with You. But we pray that You'd help us in all things to be open with You. Open about our feelings, our struggles, to present all our cares and anxieties to You, that the peace of Christ, which passes understanding, may guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.